The Haynesboro Assembly approves the hire of a community and economic development director, and a local resident organizes a one-day camp for this weekend where you can learn everything from swing dancing to mandolin. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. At its Tuesday meeting, the Haynesboro Assembly approved the hire of Bill Mandeville as Community and Economic Development Director. Mandeville was in town visiting Haynes in order to decide whether to accept this job. He was present at the assembly meeting and talked about his experience.
I know how to write some really good plans, and I also know how to put together the financial packages to implement them.
The assembly voted unanimously to approve Mandeville's hire, and he accepted the job offer. The full-time community and economic development director position has a salary of $64,000. The primary responsibility is to promote business and economic development in the Haynes community and region. Mandeville will be leaving his job as a manager and planner for the state of Washington. Mandeville says he and his wife lived in Alaska in the past, and they were interested in moving back, which is why he applied for this position. He will start his new job with the borough January 29th. A few residents from the Upper Valley and from town gave public comment about Mosquito Lake School at the assembly meeting. The school was closed last year after a drop in enrollment that disqualified it from state funding. The five people who spoke asked the borough, which owns the facility, not to rush into selling it. Here's Zach Jacobson.
You're potentially disenfranchising some of your citizens and changing our identity. And before the Planning Commission meeting on Thursday, I'd like to ask assembly members to think about that and talk with the Planning Commission members.
The building and property is worth more than $800,000. It's on the Borough Planning Commission's Thursday meeting agenda, asking for approval to classify the property for sale. Some residents have said the borough is moving too fast to try to sell the school. The school district is working right now to find out if there are enough students to reopen it next year. Borough Manager Dave Sosa says he is still committed to trying to find a viable plan for the building.
I have recommended, though, that the Planning Commission act to make the building available for sale. Making a building available for sale doesn't mean that it will be sold, but it provides options for the borough so that if we cannot find a viable use for the facility, if we cannot come up with a use or we cannot come up with the funds to provide a use for that, then the option is there.
The Assembly also approved a list of federal priorities for 2015. The borough will lobby the federal government for funding toward the eight capital projects. LUTAC dock facility improvements is number one on the list, followed by Haynes Harbor and the Secure Rural Schools program. This weekend, people in Haynes will have the opportunity to learn belly dancing, mandolin, clawhammer banjo, and songwriting all in one day. Resident Sue Liebenson has organized a music and dance camp Sunday from noon to 7 p.m. in the Chilcat Center.
Okay, there is something for everyone. There is everything from belly dancing to music theory. We are going to offer swing dancing. There's funk classes, rock and roll classes, blues. There's classes in drum and rhythm. There's vocal classes.
Those classes will be led by 14 local volunteer instructors. The camp is $10 for those junior high-aged and up. You can participate in just one class, or you can stay for the whole time and take up to four. Here's how it works. Starting at 12:15, there are 4 1- or 1.5-hour sessions. During each session, there are 4 or 5 classes to choose from. In the 2 to 3 o'clock hour, for example, you can take drums and rhythm, belly dancing, improvisation, swing guitar, or beginner electric bass. Liebenson says she thought this kind of event would be fun to try out in Haynes. It took about a month to organize.
It's just one of those things where you think, wow, wouldn't this be neat if we had something like this in Haynes? And it's Haynes, so you just go ahead and do it.
Liebenson says it didn't take long to fill up the schedule. She was impressed with the willingness of local musicians, dancers, and singers to lead classes.
I think a lot of the names of the teachers are well known in town. We've got Christy Fowler is going to teach songwriting. Nancy Nash is going to teach voice. Eric Hawley is going to teach advanced music theory and also some banjo. But there's also some folks here that are great teachers but don't always offer music classes. Tom Haywood's going to teach swing guitar. Burl Sheldon's going to teach drop D guitar.
Depending on what class you plan to take, Liebenson says to bring a pen and paper and your instrument if you have one. At the end of the day, there will be a group performance and jam. The $10 per person fee goes toward the cost of renting out the Chilcat Center. Liebenson says once Sunday is over, she'll think about whether the music and dance camp could be a recurring event. You can see the schedule at khns.org. Southeast Alaska salmon trollers are having a strong winter season thanks to good catches on the outer coast outside of Sitka. The winter season started October 11th, and the catch of Chinook has topped 24,000 fish by the second week in January. Grant Hagerman, Fish and Game's assistant troll biologist for Southeast, says the catch is almost double last year's total at the same time.
Looking back, it's the highest fall catch we've seen for 20 years, basically, since the 93-94 winter season, so it's pretty significant.
Typically, the biggest catches in the winter come from around Sitka, Yakutat, and near Petersburg. Hagerman says this year's catches near Yakutat and Petersburg are pretty similar to those from recent years, but the catches near Sitka have been unusually strong. In fact, the Sitka landings are nearly 80% of the winter season catch so far, or nearly 19,000 of the 24,000 total. A big part of the catch came in the early season, October and November. However, Hagerman says strong catches near Sitka continued into December as well, which is not typical. The dock price for troll-caught kings averaged more than $6 a pound in the early season, but it's been climbing.
You know, we did set a record this fall. It's the first time in the history of the winter that the average prices have gone over $10 a pound. Before the new year. You know, typically in the winter, we have building prices through about, Valentine's Day. So it could be that these prices still continue up to maybe in that, $11, $12 range. So we'll kind of see what happens.
The catch includes 5% Alaska hatchery fish, or about 1,100 kings. That's normally a higher percentage of the catch. Most of the fish caught are destined for rivers in Washington and Oregon. The season is open until April 30th, or until the catch of kings, not counting Alaska hatchery-produced Chinook, hits 45,000. Aspiring pot entrepreneurs in Juneau can tentatively expect to have local zoning and land use rules that address legal operations in October. The Juneau Assembly adopted a moratorium Monday that gives city planners and officials until October 19th to get the rules in place. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
October 19th is sooner than the one-year moratorium first proposed, which would have put the deadline in February 2016. That's about the same time a state agency must begin accepting applications from prospective marijuana businesses. Gianno Barrett, who wants to start a pot farm, told the assembly that isn't enough time to be ready to file an application with the state on day one.
Zoning is a big issue for us as well as a farm. We want to know where we can prospectively look into property and know that when we apply with the state, we have everything that we need in a row. So it does actually prolong our situation quite a bit when having to wait that long to figure out where the city is at with the zoning.
Assemblyman Jesse Keel set the October date by amendment. He picked the date because it was 6 months from the scheduled adjournment of the Alaska legislature, which is expected to establish a regulatory board and tinker with the November initiative that legalized pot in the state.
We as a city aren't going to know what those look like until the legislature is done on the 19th of April. And I think that gives our Planning Commission and the Assembly a little time, but not a whole lot of time, to come up with a full set of zoning regulations for this activity in our community.
Barrett was one of eight people to speak up during the public hearing on the ordinance. They were all against the moratorium or said it was too long. No one spoke in favor of it. The critics included a University of Alaska Southeast student, an elementary school teacher, a lawyer, a bartender, and a restaurateur. The end date of the moratorium isn't necessarily fixed, noted Assemblywoman Karen Crane. Separately, the Juneau Assembly heard critical public testimony on an ordinance intended to treat secondhand marijuana smoke like secondhand tobacco smoke, essentially banning it from all workplaces. Again, no one testified in favor of the ordinance, Several people pointed out that it appeared redundant with the initiative, which states pot is illegal to consume in public. City Attorney Amy Mead noted that public wasn't defined, leaving gray areas like cabs, tour buses, and workplaces as potentially legal places to light up. The Assembly moved the ordinance back to committee for more work. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.